You're listening to How to Win with Mike Moore, the podcast that provides you with practical insights on how to win in every arena of life.
God wants His people to prosper, and I believe that He's anointed me to help you to prosper, to go from one level to another level all year, and we're going to break poverty and lack and scarcity, unfulfilled desire over your life. It's going to take you to another level of abundance in God. Come on, take this journey with me. How to Win Our Prosperity Edition 2024.
Are you ready to break free from the chains of anxiety, stress, and depression? Mike Moore, author and founding pastor of Faith Chapel and host of the How to Win podcast, is here with his new book, Help, My Mind is Under Attack. Learn how to overcome attacks on your mind and live an emotionally healthy life. Grab your copy now, available as ebook on Amazon and paperback on MikeMoore.com. Embark on your journey to complete mental health and emotional peace.
Hello, I'm Mike Moore, and welcome to the How to Win podcast. These podcasts are based off 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, now thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. Listen, I'm so glad to have you with us. We're in my prosperity edition of How to Win. And we are learning how to approach God based off our material, financial needs, and I believe it's in the Word. I began a series that I'm going to finish today entitled The Rich Life. Can you imagine that? Let's think for a moment. The Rich Life. Come on, say that. God wants me to enjoy the rich life. Come on, say that again. God wants me to enjoy the rich life. That's God's will, and that's what we've been talking about. Each one of these lessons, we have a subtitle, and this is our fourth and final lesson on this series. It's been good. It's blessed me. I pray that it's blessed you. Put in the chat. Let me know if it's blessed you. Let me know, because I go back and look at some of the comments. Put in the chat. Let me know whether or not you were blessed by this series. Now, we've talked about what the rich life is. We've talked about the word rich, what it means biblically speaking. We've talked about the fact that Jesus has paid the price. God wants you to live a lavish lifestyle. We talked about the purpose for the rich life. Today, we want to talk about our subject is doors to the rich life. Doors to the rich life. Psalm 78, verse 23 through 25, it says, yet He hath commanded the clouds above and open doors of heaven, had rained down manna on them to eat and given them of the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the full. The text says that God opened the doors of heaven. The doors of heaven. Doors represents revelation, principles, and responsibilities. And that's what we're going to be talking about. We want to give you some revelation. We want to give you some principles, and we're going to talk about some of your responsibilities. Doors of the rich life. There's seven doors to the rich life that we're going to look at, and I believe that it's going to really bless you. Let's get started. The first door to the rich life is the door of proper placement. The door of proper placement. 1 Kings 17, chapter verse 3 through 4 says, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Now, notice God instructed His man, his prophet Elijah during a drought to go to a certain place, the brook Cherith, hide there. And he said that I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Drink from the brook, and I have commanded birds to feed you there. God gave Elijah specific instructions about where he wanted him to be. Now, if Elijah had gone somewhere else, he could have meant well, but for whatever reason, he thought somewhere else would have been better, then the ravens would not have brought bread, and he would not have had a brook to sustain him through the drought. Proper placement is very important to entering the rich life. By proper placement, we're talking about being in the right place at the right time. Being in the right place at the right time. It is proper placement that releases supernatural provision in your life. And that's what happened. Elijah heard God's instructions, went to the brook Cherith, turned eastward, went to the brook Cherith, and he stayed right there. Are you where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do? That is important. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 12:18, and he said, God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. We have been set in the body. That's why I think it's important to pray about your pastor, pray about the church. Where does God want you to be? I know you like this and at this church, and you like that, and you like this, and you like this, what this man offered here. Have you ever thought that maybe God has a place he wants you to be? God has set the members in the body as it is pleased him. I think it's important to have being right, the right place as it relates to job. I think it's important to be at the right place as it relates to schools. I just think placement is so very important. People think it doesn't matter, but it does matter. The Bible says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. Proper placement is a door to the rich life. Number two, the door of meditation. The second door is the door of meditation. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Notice the key component, meditate in the word day and night. Meditation is a door to the rich life. There are six components of meditation. I'm going to give them to you right quick. Six. Number one, verbalization. Meditation involves verbalization. Verbalization means to mutter or speak to oneself in a low voice, or it means to speak to oneself out loud. Is talking. Meditate would include revolving it around in your mind, but it also involves the mouth muttering, my God shall supply all my needs. My God shall supply all my needs. My God shall supply all my needs. My God shall supply all my need according to his. I'm meditating. I'm thinking about each part of the text. I'm revolving around in my mind. I'm muttering to myself. I'm speaking out where I can hear it, not necessarily for everybody else, but I'm speaking out where I can hear it. Verbalization, repetition, to do over and over again, to consider a matter at length. Repetition is a key to learning. It's a part of meditation, repetition. I listen. When I was renewing my mind to the prosperous life, I did a teaching myself, and it really blessed me. It was in that area of the God of Abundance, and I listened to that lesson. And at that time, you had CDs, you know, you had the CDs. I listened to that lesson. It's 365 days in a year. I missed one day. I listened to it for 364 days. I listened to it over and over and over and over again. Repetition is a key to revelation, is the key to learning, is the key to growth, and it is a key component of meditation, repetition. Number three, visualization. Visualization means to envision the end result, to see yourself and see the situation concluded, see the situation finished. Visualize. Think about yourself winning, arriving, having, doing, visualization, internalization. Number four, verbalization, repetition, visualization, and internalization is allowing yourself to feel what God feels. Images recreates emotions, allowing yourself to feel. God spoke to me one time during a very difficult time. It was a very difficult time. I encourage people to keep a journal, especially concerning things that God speaks to you about. And I have a journal that go all the way back to the early 80s. I remember going through a difficult time, and I heard the Spirit of God said to me, "Lo, I'm with you always to the end of the earth." I heard it. Now, I know that scripture. I know it's in the Bible. I believe it's in Matthew 28. But this, I wasn't reading the Bible. God spoke to me. He often speaks to me in the night seasons while I'm asleep. And I heard the Spirit of God say, "Lo, I'm with you always to the end of the earth." And I can feel what he was saying. I felt his emotions. I felt it. That's a part of meditating, feeling what God feels. Sometimes God corrects us, and you need to feel God's concern in that area. Sometimes God praises us, and you need to feel what God's saying. That's a part of meditation, internalization. Then number five, personalization, seeing yourself being it, seeing yourself having it, seeing yourself doing it. There are times when I can actually visualize in myself preaching a sermon. I see myself doing it. I think about it. I can see myself on the stage. I can see myself sharing. I can see the audience. Personalization means you're reading the word. God quickens it. The Spirit of God speaks to you. The prophetic word comes to you, and you personalize it. God spoke to me. We're talking about, you know, the rich life. And I'm blessed. God had blessed me and my wife to live in a really nice home, nice house, a large house on 7 acres of land. And God spoke to me some time ago, and he spoke these words, buying a big house. He was saying to me, "You're going to buy a big house." Now, I already have a nice house, Now, I'm seeing myself living somewhere else. And it's big. Now, the house that I have, and it's a wonderful house. It's a prosperous house. But God always has another level. There's another level that God wants me to experience as it relates to the rich life. And He says it's going to be a big house, and you're going to buy a big house. I wrote that down in my journal. And so I personalize it. I pray about it. I confess. I pray in the Spirit about it. And I can see myself in this big house. It has things in this house that the house that I'm in now doesn't have. It's a big house. I'm personalizing. Now, He says it. Now, I see myself having it, living in it, doing things in it. That's meditation. And then application, that means practice and act on it. Whatever revelation God gives you, to the best of your ability, you want to practice it and act on it. That's the door of meditation. Number three is the door of obedience. The door of obedience. Isaiah 48:17 says, I'm the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Notice God says, I am the Lord your God, and I am teaching you to profit, and I'm leading you the way that you should go. So you have to obey what God is doing. You have to obey the leadings. You have to be willing to yield to the direction and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Don't try to figure out everything. Don't try to make everything make sense. You have to be led. You have to be willing to be led by the Spirit. It is a willingness to follow God one step at a time. One step at a time. It is the willingness to take bold steps of faith without having full or complete understanding or explanation. Please don't wait till you have full understanding to obey God. Don't wait. No, you have to be willing to take it a step at a time. Maybe God, why you want me to do this? God, what's going to happen? No. Your role is not to find out everything ahead of time, because God will not answer all your questions up front. He's a faith God. He's not going to answer all your questions. Some things you'll find out later. On the other side of your obedience, it will make more sense. On the other side of your obedience, you will understand the why. On the other side of your obedience, now your job is to take the time to get God's mind, be open to God's leading in your spirit, and just take it one step at a time, being willing to obey without full explanation, without full understanding, and God will keep directing you. And you know, the scripture says that the day will dawn. If in the book of Peter, where it talks about the day star will arise in your heart. And that text is talking about, you ever stayed up all night? You know, I have. When I was in college, in fact, recently I stayed up all night. But when I was in college, I would stay up all night working on term papers. And I would literally be at the window and could see night coming into early morning. And in the early mornings hours, is have that grayish look. Not dark, not light, but a little grayish look. And as the day move forward, the hours continue, the day become brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. From darkness to bright. That's the way the leadership of the Holy Spirit is. Many times you start off in the dark. You know what God is saying. You know what He's telling you to do. You don't have full understanding. You don't have an explanation, but you know you're supposed to do this. And you take a step. And if you keep stepping, then the Spirit of God will cause the light to get brighter and brighter. And when you get to the full day, you can look back and you see, okay, this is what He was saying. This is why He led me here. This is what He was trying to keep me from entering into. So you can't, God is not going to give you full explanation up front. So the door of obedience. Number four, the door of excellence. The door of excellence. Daniel 6 says, then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to set him over the whole realm. Excellence is a door to the rich life. You show me someone that's excellent at what they do. The Bible says diligent and excellence. The Bible says you'll stand before kings. God will elevate you. Excellence has to do with being your best, doing your best. Being your best, doing your best. Being your best, doing your best. Don't just do anything. You know, I can preach a subject that I've taught before, and it would be easy. In fact, my wife, she jokes with me. She said, I wouldn't do all that time, Mike. I just take one of them old sermons, and then I just preach those old sermons. Listen, there are things that I may preach that I preach, and people will say to me, they say, well, you know, I heard you. I remember when you taught that. They think they heard what I taught. They heard part of what I taught because I never preached the same message the exact way. I studied that subject, even though I got notes on it, I studied, I'm open to the Spirit of God, and He's always enlarging my understanding, giving me different facets, layers of information, because I want to be excellent. I don't want to be half-stepping. I don't want to just throw some out there. Excellence has to do with being your best, doing your best, but it also means to exceed expectations. Exceed the requirements. So let's say you work in your job, at a job, and you have expectations and responsibilities. You want to always do more than what you're being asked and required to do. That's excellence. You exceed your job description, exceed what they expect of you. That's excellence. It's the gradual result of always striving to be better. I was sharing this with my daughter, Tiffany, who's over my podcast. And I told her recently that I really love the way you oversee my podcast because she's always trying to make it better. She's always thinking, always coming up with ideas. Sometimes I don't listen the way I should listen, but she's always trying to get it better. That's what excellence is. You're striving to make things better. Number five, the door of integrity. Luke 8:15, it says, and the seed that fell on good soil represents an honest and good heart people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest. Integrity is choosing not to lie, cheat, steal, and avoiding manipulation. You have to choose. Now, if you're going to walk in the rich life that I am teaching, the rich life that God wants you to have God's way, you're going to have to make a decision. You're not going to lie, steal, or cheat, and you're not going to manipulate people. You're not going to do it. Integrity is consistency. It's harmony and agreement between what you do in public and what you do in private. That's integrity. In other words, who you are in private should match who you are in public, and who you are in public should match who you are in private. That's consistency. Integrity is consistency. Number six is the door of love. Galatians 5:6 says, what matters, this is the Message translation, what matters is something far more interior, faith expressed in love. Love, the love walk, is a door to the rich life. You're not going to live the rich life God's way if you don't major in love. Be quick to forgive others, resistant to retaliation. Show your followers and your teammates you care by listening to them. That's a part of love. Appreciate differences. Being adept at managing dysfunction, friction, and strong personalities. Working well with people. Love, you have to master. You can't walk around with grudges and bitterness and resentment and gossip and talking down people and about people. No. You want the rich life? You have to master the love walk. I don't sit around and talk to about people. Even my wife, she don't hear me just talking down people and talking with this person and talk. I don't do that. I don't spend time talking negative about other people. You got to master the love life. Quick to forgive. You may offend me, but you can't make me not forgive you. You may say something that you shouldn't say to me, but the scripture told me to bless you. Bless them that curse you. Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. You are not in control of me. You may not do me right, but you can't control my response. I'm always in control of my response, and so are you in control of your response. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. Love. You got to master this. If you're going to walk in the rich life, people who walk in the rich life God's way, they're not bitter people. They're not gossips. They don't hold grudges. They're quick to forgive, being quick to forgive. And then the final door is the door of priority, a door that many people overlook. Genesis 2:24 says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Priority. Leave father and mother, cleave to wife. Father and mother were priority in our formative years. We get married now. That's not the primary priority. Now the wife is the priority, and then the kids. 1 Corinthians 14:40 said, let all things be done decently and in order. God has a divine order. It is important to prioritize your life. If you're going to live a rich life, then you have to have God first, your spouse secondly, if you are married, your children third. Now, people differ on the next parts of the priority. I believe the church should be fourth. I really do. Now, let me tell you why. I believe the church and your attendance and your commitment to a local church should be fourth priority. Why? Because I believe whoever you sit under and they're speaking into your life week in and week out, they will impact your decision making. So where you go to church and who you commit to is critical to your success. Then you got family, extended family, you got friends, you got work, you got all those things. But it's so critical now, especially those first three, I believe God, spouse, and children. God, spouse, and children. You may differ on the other priorities, but listen, if you don't put God first, then you're going to be worldly and you're going to try to be rich the world's way. If you don't put your spouse first, then you're going to have a bunch of money and your kids, you're going to have a bunch of money and you're going to be prosperous and you're going to go through multiple divorces and multiple marriages and your kids may hate your insides, you know what I mean? So you got this big house and this nice car, and God wants you to have it, but you don't have your family. So you have to make God, your family, a priority. You have to make God a priority, the Word a priority, and your family has to be a priority. Then you have a comprehensive, rich life. You don't just have money. God wants you to have your family, too. See, you can have both. You can have money, and you can have your marriage, and you can have your children, and you can have a good relationship with God. You can have it, but you have to prioritize your life. That's the doorway of priorities. Now, I want to close by these words. The rich life in the kingdom of God is comprehensive. It's comprehensive. That's why I said seven doors. Seven doors. It's comprehensive. It's comprehensive. It's also holistic. By holistic, I mean men have five, every person has five basic needs: spiritual, mental, emotional, financial, social, relational. Spiritual, that's your walk with God, that's the prayer and the Holy Spirit being led by the whole, your spiritual life. And then there is your most emotional and mental life. That's a need. And then there's your physical life. That's your health and well-being. And then your financial life. That's your material well-being. And then your social or relational life. That's your relationships. The rich life is holistic. God wants you to be rich in all these different areas. He wants you to be rich in all five areas. And consequently, the rich life is a lifestyle and not an event. It is a lifestyle, not an event. Okay? It's a lifestyle. God wants you to live a rich life. Now, listen, I'm finished with this series. I trust that it's been a blessing to you. In fact, I just want to pray for you. I feel led of the Spirit of God to pray for you. You walk with me, and maybe you only heard this lesson. Go back and listen to the first three, or you listen all the way through. I'm going to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe that I've spoken to your people and all those who would listen, your revelation that you want them to have a rich life. I believe that they're good ground. I believe that they have an honest heart. I believe that they're keeping the word, practicing the word, and I believe that you're confirming the word in their lives. So I thank you, Father, for signs and wonders and miracle increase on their life. I thank you for blessing them with favor. I thank you, Lord, for elevating them and causing them first to renew their minds. And then I pray that they receive a manifestation of the rich life. And I pray that they not forget you and that they give you all the praise and all the glory. And I pray that they be a testimony of your goodness to the world in Jesus' name. Listen, I love you. I look forward to seeing you next time. Have a great week.